The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Ory, 3-point. Buries it!
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
I could smell the turkey and the stuffing. Oh, it is, I can't hear you. I think your mic went out again there, Mr. Ory.
Well, you muted me?
There you go. He's back. I might have done that, yes.
Hey, I think you muted me,
I very well may have done that. That is true. But
I always want to blame the black man.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you bust the white kid the first chance you get. Did you mute me? You did that to me, didn't you?
I ain't gonna lie. I blame the black man in that situation, too.
Oh, Lord. It is Thanksgiving week here on the Big Shot Bob podcast. We've never talked about this before, obviously, because it hasn't been Thanksgiving. But, like, what are your traditions? Like, does the family come to see you? Are you going out to see anybody? What are you doing?
Well, you know, ever since I got married, I'm doing the thing in California. But, you know, the problem, I never really had Thanksgiving because it was always either playing or on the road or something like that. But my career ended, it was my mom's coming. She's making a broccoli and cheese casserole, making some good turkey, some good ham, you know. And people always forget, in the South, you got to have fried chicken doing Thanksgiving. Nobody has fried chicken out here.
Yeah, no, we never did the fried chicken on Thanksgiving.
On Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You always got to have, because for ham, I just like a little piece of ham. I don't really like turkey. So I have to have another meat.
You
got to
have some turkey. You don't like the turkey?
I don't like turkey, man.
Uh-uh. Oh, wow.
So you kind of substitute the fried chicken in for the turkey?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's your, okay. All right. Never done that before.
Not saying I wouldn't eat it. Look, if it's there, I eat it, but I don't ever expect. I don't ever go into Thanksgiving expecting, like, dog, where's the fried chicken?
How come they didn't get any fried chicken?
Nah.
I'd never do that either, but I just expect to have a backup, especially if the turkey's dry. Oh, you got to have a backup.
Well, if the turkey's dry, you got bigger problems here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whoever's in charge of cooking that bird's got a problem.
Yeah, I went to go pick up a turkey before I got up here.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your go-to side? What's the one you have to have, no matter what?
Oh, I got to have that mac and cheese.
See, everybody's stumping on the mac and cheese on Thanksgiving. I've never been a mac and cheese on Thanksgiving.
Because that's one of the sides where a lot of people, if somebody's bringing the mac and cheese and it's not there yet and people are ready to eat, that's one of the sides where people say, I'll wait until it gets here before I eat. Because that's one of the things that people will wait on and they don't want to wait on long. You can wait on the yams or the sweet potato, which is also a big side as well. Yeah. You can wait on the collard greens or things of that nature. But the mac and cheese? Who bringing the mac and cheese? Who made it? Oh, they made it? Nah, I'm good. I ain't finna eat it.
See, that is the key right there. Who made the mac and cheese? Yeah. You know, I'm about to call my mama out, though. Back when I was in middle school, high school, we used to do a big Thanksgiving, my aunts and everybody. And it was all that one dish someone bring that my mom was like, I'm going to put this on your plate, but don't eat it.
Oh.
You had that one cousin that couldn't make anything.
That couldn't cook for nothing.
Like, just put it on the plate because we don't want her to feel bad.
Yeah.
So we're going to put it on your plate. When you get ready to throw it away, just throw it away really quick.
Sort of work around it. Yeah, just sort of spread it out so it looks like it was eaten a little. Yeah. All right. Well, you're working. Are you not working tonight or tomorrow, or what are you doing?
I work tonight.
You work tonight.
I work tonight, yes.
You're a
cover Lakers, Knicks, Julius Lakers. Randle.
No LeBron.
No LeBron James.
And possibly no Anthony Davis, maybe.
I'm about to do my invitation. What? No LeBron James? Why would I have a LeBron James?
I haven't heard anything about LeBron James in the last couple of days. No,
it's the funniest thing because after the last game, Westbrook did his press conference, and everybody in the world know he got a tech in that game.
Yeah.
He gets it with press conference like, tech?
Yeah,
when did I get a tech?
What did I get a tech for?
It was fun. Dude, you know you got a tech.
He got teed up for? Putting his hands up. That was it, because he didn't come near anybody.
I know. It was the weirdest thing, but I will agree with him on this one. It's like he got a tech because he's Westbrook.
Well, because he was the one person out there that looked like he was ready to go. Everybody else was just like pushing and shoving, and he looked like he was ready to throw hands.
But you know, it's like my whole thing is when you get into a little scuffle like that, the one person, if I'm a side, I'm on the side, I'm watching, right? Out of everybody in that crew, the only person I've been scared of would have been DeAndre Jordan. Because he was just like this, like waiting for you to make a move.
Go ahead.
Bust a move. Yeah. I dare you. Bust a move. And that was everybody else was like getting all breaking down. I'm always scared of the one that looks like he ain't doing nothing, because that's the crazy one.
Yep.
I'm going to be honest with you about something, and I'm going to be real. And that may have been the case with DeAndre and then, you know, Russ, whatever. Nobody wanted any smoke with anybody, because they always talk about how, you know, Isaiah Stewart, he didn't want anything with LeBron, because if he really wanted to hit LeBron,
oh, he would have done it when,
hit it when he got up in his face. All that huffing and puffing and big bad wolfing he was doing, running around, that was for show. That was for applause. Yeah. He didn't want to fight LeBron because he would have snuffed LeBron right when he got up in his face. All this, oh, he want LeBron didn't want none of him. He didn't want none of LeBron either.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I think what he was like, fine, and he realized, you made me bleed my own blood. What's going on?
All of a sudden, he's a white Goodman from Dodgeball. No, yeah, nobody makes me bleed my own blood. Yeah, it's just the whole thing was theatrics to me. And yes. Here was my big one from the takeaway from this fight. So for starters, for me, it did not look like it was intentional in the sense that the way LeBron swiped up with the elbow, it didn't look like he was going to hit him in the face. It looked like he was trying to get his arm off him and just caught him in the face. That didn't seem intentional to me. The other thing was, let's not turn this into Malice at the Palace, too. This wasn't even in the vicinity of Malice at the Palace. I mean, everybody, oh, Malice at the Palace. No. This was a bunch of guys peacocking and pushing each other around on the floor. But the best part was the Palace announcers go, please stay in your seats. Do not get out of your seats. Like the whole time, they were freaking out.
On the floor.
They're like, oh, these fans are going to run the floor, and it's going to. And there
this is a new building. We haven't broken in yet.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Stay in your seat. The best was there was one fan that got on the floor, too. Did you see the video of that guy?
No, I didn't see that.
There was one guy that kind of came down the side in the middle of the fight, ran up the sideline, and then like made a move onto the court, and security dropped him in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
I dropped him. Now, I do have to say this
for Isaiah Stewart. Look, and it may not have been intentional on LeBron's part, but we all know that elbow, when it hits you in anywhere in the face, it feels intentional. So I understand, you know, your pride is hurt as a man. You know, now you're bleeding. So now you hurt, and now you want to retaliate. So I get it in a sense, because we've all kind of been there when somebody may have hit you on accident. But in a sense, it was like, dang, boy, he really got me. That didn't feel like an accident. So now I want to retaliate because, you know, my pride is in it now. But he was just – that was all for show. He pushing people, running over. Now, he looked like Derrick Henry out there running over folks.
People were posting that meme, and it's like when mom says Thanksgiving dinner's ready.
No, the very last one I saw was the one that said, oh, this is – Jergens lotion running at KD because they thought
he
was like this. But no, but you know, if you watch that, you know, as a basketball player and been in that situation before, anytime you get locked up with someone like that, you trying to get loose. And I know what LeBron was trying to do. He was trying to free himself.
Yeah.
But the problem with that also is usually a guy is not falling downward. Cause you know, if you look at Stewart, Isaiah, his face went this way instead of this way. Mm-hmm. And so when LeBron went to go, instead of having all body, his face was in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, you know, I know I've done that before where you hit a guy, you be like, oh, my bad. Mm-hmm. And some guys be like, yeah, you know, they know it's not intentional because everybody's done it. Every basketball player has done it to try to free himself.
Yeah.
But once, you know, for me is I used to get hit like that all the time, but I'll always do that little 5 second count where I'm going to wait for this motherfucker to apologize. If he don't apologize, oh, I'm going to get your ass back.
I'm going to come get you.
Yo, sit around this screen. I'm going to hit you in the back pick or something. Yeah. But you're going to feel me. Yeah. You're going to feel me 10 times harder than you hit me. Because, you know, because accidents happen during the game. People are going to get hit in the face. And the guy doesn't say anything. Or he says something smart. Yep. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it becomes like,
Light your ass up.
Then it's like what B-Dog said. It becomes a matter of pride. Now it's like, all right, now I have to come back at you.
Yeah.
Because now I feel like my manhood's been checked.
But my thing is, for people, for real fighters, and I'll always stand on this, and, you know, I'll always scream this from the mountaintop. If you really want to fight, and if you really want to swing, he had time between when he got in LeBron's face and when the first person came over to separate him to where I get up, I'm swinging. Mm-hmm. So everybody told me he didn't have time.
You might not even swing. You might push him.
Nah, you don't even push him. You gonna swing?
Least, yeah. Well, but I don't.
No, it's like, you know, sometimes you like you push him like motherfucker what, and then you get ready to throw down. But he didn't do that. He did that arms to the side. I know my trainer James Cooper. I was like, I don't know why guys always walk up to guys with their hands down. I'm like, dude, you just asking to be clocked. I'm like, first thing you do is you put your hands up to protect yourself, man.
Yeah.
I don't think he realized how bad it was. And then in turn didn't want to retaliate right away. I thought he figured he just got knocked in the face. I think when he really got a look at how much he was bleeding, then it became a matter of, oh, no, now I have to swing back.
Yeah.
When he started feeling like, oh, damn, I'm leaking.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What happened? My lips leaking
What's
too.
Going on? And he looked, by the way, he looked like freaking Rocky Balboa with that cut under the eye, and that thing was just gushing. It was like, ooh, that was ugly.
At first, I thought he was like, it was the blood from his eye that had trickled into his mouth, but then I saw where LeBron's hand had popped him in the mouth too. So I was like, wow, okay. Because they got this one angle where I'm like, he got hit twice. Cheek and lip, got elbow to the chin, to the eye, and hit to the back of the hand, to the lip, like, bow.
And did you see, I think it was at the end of the game, did you see Melo, I guess, standing in front, I guess wherever, I guess the Pistons go into the locker room, he's literally standing there, his video talking about, he ain't coming out here.
Oh,
he ain't coming through here.
When Stewart left the court.
Yeah.
He ran full speed into the visitors' locker room, and they thought he was going to do the loop and come back around the other side and come out.
And Melo said,
"No,
I'm standing right here. He ain't coming nowhere.
Yeah,
yeah. He ain't coming out here. He ain't coming out here.
You know, Rick Fox did that.
Did the
you
loop
with him and Doug Christie
went all the way
fight?
Around.
Yeah, all around.
That's just such a like because it's like he was out there for a minute. And by the way, Stewart gets two games for this.
Yep.
LeBron gets the one. I guess Stewart, they're saying two because he kind of tried to reinitiate the fight five or six times. But yeah, they finally had him calm down and for the most part, and that's when he ran full speed into the back and everyone was like, oh, here we go. He's going around.
Do you think LeBron should have got the one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I don't want to say that, but you know, you set a precedence now. You have to do it because there's so many guys that have gotten hit, and it's all about, you know, now when they go to the monitor, is a flagrant one, is a flagrant two.
Yeah.
You know, I think he should have got it just so because if they didn't, you know, they play each other in what, three or four days?
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to like try to diffuse the situation, like, oh, look, we suspended him. Like, if they don't suspend him, like, okay, you didn't suspend him. Oh, I'm going to get my revenge in his next game.
See, here's
the thing.
Turn
into something more than it should be.
You said like three or four games, right? So that's really soon. So it's different if this was their next matchup was a month or two away. Then you could kind of let cooler heads prevail. But you're talking about three games. Oh no, he's still hot about this.
Oh yeah.
So ain't no telling. Yeah, ain't no telling.
He didn't get his retribution.
His lip feels swollen.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So, buddy, you know your pride as a man, if you take a bow to the eye, your pride is not healed in 3-4 games. You got to let that cool off for months on end, and maybe that simmers down. But you talking about that close for the rematch, man? It's gonna be. Is it in L.A.?
It's in L.A. on Sunday.
It's gonna be some problems.
Oh yeah,
it's gonna be some problems.
It's seven holiday days weekend. To the day.
That is now in no other circumstance would an L.A. Pistons game be
even
thought.
On the radar.
Now it is prime time, and it has nothing to do with basketball.
ABC's going
to
bump you guys up, man. You're going to be on prime time.
Hey, if they bump us, I don't care. That means I get to sit my ass at home.
Sit back, eat your popcorn, and watch the fight go down.
Hey, then we just talk about it on Monday and be like, we're going to get together and talk about something good or something very boring. Oh, it was some bullshit. Yeah.
You know the funny thing about that game, Rob? That may have been the outcome of the game, may have been some of the best basketball the Lakers have played all season. Because they came back and won that game. Unfortunately, it was against the Pistons.
Came down to the last, 10, 15 seconds?
Hey, you know, it's the funniest thing, right? I was about to pick up my phone and text you, B. I'm like, 5 and 10. I'm like, 9 and 10. I was close. You know? I was about to text you, right? And you, I'm not lying.
You
I
was said, off.
Nah. I said, no, nah, they're going to fuck around and win this game. They're going to come back and win it.
Yep.
And they came back and won it.
Yep. And that inspiration, it took a bow to the eye in order for this team to get and play inspired basketball.
And the best thing about that game was Russ almost made it through that game with just two turnovers. That last turnover he got was, you know, crazy. It was just, you know, thinking the game was over and he got the turnover. But if he can stay in three and under, they win. If he goes above that, they're going to lose.
I'll take five and under because he's averaging 7-8 of them. If he can drop to 4 or 5 and less, I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But I don't need him 8, 9, 10 turnovers. That's ridiculous.
That's unheard of.
Now, frighteningly enough, the holidays are right around the corner. We've talked about it plenty, but you're probably thinking about how you're going to save some extra money. Well, we've got a solution that maybe you haven't thought of. Consolidate your high interest credit card balances to a lower rate and save with our friends at Lightstream. Yes, we've talked about Lightstream a lot. Rob and I both used them a bunch. They're doing their part to help you get out of credit card debt. They offer credit card consolidation loans with rates starting at 4.9% APR, and that's with auto pay and excellent credit.
And that rate is much lower than the national average interest on credit cards of over 19%.
That's what people are paying, 19% on their credit cards?
Lord. Some 24.
Lord.
Yes. Plus, your rate is fixed, so as rates continue to rise, your low rate won't budge. There are no fees, and you can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserves a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver.
And that's why we love them, man, because no matter what mountain of credit card debt you're trying to tackle, you can get a loan from anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000. Like Rob said, no fees, the rates don't go up. It's the way to do it. And just for our Big Shot Bob listeners, you can apply now and get a special interest rate discount and save even more.
Yeah, but the only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/OIT.
Can you spell it? Spell it.
Want me to spell it for you?
Yes, please.
I got that Alabama education. Here we go.
Okay.
That's lightstream.com/OIT. And if you don't know how to spell OIT, that's HORRY.
There you go. That was pretty good. That was a good job. It's subject to credit approval. Rates range from 4.9% APR to 19.99% APR, include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Just visit lightstream.com/ORI for all the information. Speaking of ugly basketball, the Kings have played plenty of it this year. Luke Walton just got fired the other day as the head coach of the Kings. I think everybody maybe saw that coming, but Luke, did you play with Luke?
No, Luke was after me, but I did the show with Luke. Luke and I was on Spectrum together.
That's so right.
We
okay.
For a couple of years before he went to Golden State.
What do you think of him as a head coach?
I thought he got a lot of praise. I love Luke as a person. He got a lot of praise for when
Golden State
when Steve Kerr
was out, and I'm like, man, that's a machine. Hell, a freaking ant could have, you know, and no disrespect to Luke. I just think he wasn't ready yet.
Right.
You know, he got tossed in the situation, and then he got tossed with the Lakers where he really didn't have any control. Then he gets sent to go to Sacramento where you're not going to win. It's whatever nothing. Coach goes there is not going to win. You can't blame Luke for them losing. Like, first of all, you got a disgruntled buddy here. You got an organization who don't know who's the owner, who's the GM, who's this, who's that. There's so many things that makes that a dysfunctional family over there. And Luke was he was pushing a boulder up a hill as soon as he got there. So it was just a matter of time. But for me, if I was him, I'm like, fuck it, I'm getting paid, I'm going home.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, I tried my best, and you know, but think about getting fired that many times. It's not cute on your resume.
And that was my question. Is that it now? I mean, is the Luke Walton experiment sort of over?
I don't think so. I think someone else is going to give him a chance. He's going to go back to being an assistant coach with someone, and then he's going to get a break. Chance. Everybody's not Steve Kerr, or you know, that just falls into the right situation and just, you know, get groomed for teams groomed for 5 years. All of a sudden you take over, you win the championship. So I think he'd get another chance. But how lucky is Alvin Gentry though? He's always in the right place.
He just backed right into that one. It was
I got a pay raise too.
Hey.
But see, look, every sport has their graveyard. you know, football, you got the Lions.
That was my question is,
you got the Browns.
The poor Kings are one of the most unrootable teams just because they're perennially bad. Always bad.
In the NBA, you got the Kings. You got the Cavaliers. There are a couple of places where careers just go to die, unfortunately.
Well, Cleveland had their moment.
It's called LeBron James.
I know.
It was the Hawks for a while, too, now.
It was.
You're right.
It was.
Yeah,
there was a very large chunk of time where, the Hawks wore that mantle.
But we resurrected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kings, though, it's just, I remember when we had Mitch on there, when he went to the Kings, he was like, damn. Yeah.
he spent 10 years there or some shit. Talk about
you had those 4 years they had, where they tried to, do some things with, Chris Webber, Vlade, and Stager, and that team that,
that seemed like so long ago, though.
Yeah, it was 100
years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, that's a long time ago.
150 years ago, they tried to do that.
So, I'm like, they had that little one-year spurt where they could have did some things, but after that, it's just been like you said, the graveyard.
It's a graveyard. Yeah,
it really is. Is that the hardest team in the NBA to probably root for if you're a fan? If you're a fan of the Sacramento Kings, I can't imagine there's another team that's that
hard.
If
you're from Sacramento, that's all you got. There's no professional sports in Sacramento.
That's
Sacramento, it. San Antonio.
I say Cleveland.
Utah.
The Cavs.
Cleveland, you think, they had a little glory with LeBron.
That's LeBron.
When you had LeBron and Kyrie Irving.
When LeBron left the first time, where was Cleveland?
Oh, they went through that stretch. Remember, they didn't win a game for like a month and a half or something.
Restore order. They won a title. Then he left. Ain't nobody worried about no Cleveland.
No, and nobody want to go where it snows and the snow is black. It's black snow. I'm like, they ain't going there.
Right. And then
black snow.
A dirty place.
Dan Gilbert puts a bad taste in a lot of guys. Like, bro, no one wants to play for Dan Gilbert.
Well, and that's another issue altogether. Bad ownership will drive organizations like that into the ground. I mean, that's not a shot at the Cowboys because the Cowboys have been up and down. I know Jason Garrett, by the way, just got fired. Breed Dog told us that right before we started taping. But with Jerry Jones in charge of the Cowboys, being the guy who's always going to be I'm going to be the owner and the GM, you never put yourself in a position to succeed. You're always like chasing your own tail in a lot of cases. And the Cowboys consistently, they ate a fat one the other night on TV. What the hell did they lose to? They got their lunch handed to them by, I think, Kansas City.
Kansas City.
Kansas City's been on the rise, though.
Yeah, they have.
They've been up and down this year.
People think, Kansas City is not who they are anymore. I'm like, they still got a potent offense. They still got the best tight end in football.
Easily.
And they got one of the best quarterbacks in football. And they just had a lot of injuries. Now that, Mahomes doesn't have to run for his life every snap.
Yep.
He can sit back and, make some adjustments.
Yeah.
They're fine. So I think, everybody was expecting the Cowboys to be a team that was sitting there like, okay, we're right for the picking. Like, no, we get inspired too. You the Cowboys, you're supposed to be the team that goes to the Super Bowl. No, hold on. We get inspired too. We're going to get back to the Super Bowl.
So. And Jerry is more of a, or at least becoming more of a figurehead when it comes to Dallas,
because these days,
his son Steven is the one that's making the personnel decisions, talking about who to draft. I'm pretty sure Jerry obviously still signs the checks and then has his say.
Yeah.
But Jerry is the voice. He's the figurehead. He's the one that does the radio show out there in Dallas every week talking, and he's making the headlines because it's still his team. He's still signing the checks. But as far as personnel decision, he may have a say-so here and there, but I think it's his son, Steven, is really making those decisions.
So basically you're saying right now the Dallas Cowboys are secessions.
I mean,
look, more or less, yes. It's secession,
Jerry has the most – he has the most profitable organization in sports.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he does. And by the way, is that a good show, Succession? Have you watched that?
Yes, it's
is it? Everybody raves about that damn show. I haven't started it yet. I might go back and watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch
it. I might go back
Jerry
and start
is the main guy, which is called – his name is Logan Roy. He's like the old man.
Yeah,
the
old rich man.
But the son is trying to take over the organization.
Interesting. All right, I want to go watch that. Probably go back and start that. Thoughts on the Phoenix Suns have ripped off 13 straight as of last night. And I think – you were kind of the leader of the parade on this one. Of the Suns took the path of least resistance to get to the end there, and here we are another year. They're again, not that it counts quite yet because it's still November, But they've ripped off 13 straight, and that's nothing to laugh at.
No, it's nothing to laugh at. You know, Booker's playing extremely well. I thought they was going to have a problem, you know, with DeAndre Ayton not trying to – they're not re-signing him, and they're re-signing Bridges. I'm like, hold on. I was the number one pick. We in the same draft, and I'm averaging a 20-20 in the playoffs, and you won't give me money? So I thought it'd be some, you know, some hardships going on right there. But, you know, Chris Paul is, you know, the leader that he is. I know a lot of people don't like Chris Paul. I think he's a great guy, and I love him. Met him and talked to him. He's a wonderful guy. But he's got that guy. He got the team playing, man. He's got them. Yeah, he rallying the troops. They play together. And that's what you have to have, a guy who don't give a fuck about anybody's feelings and just going to say it, as long as, you know, steer the team right. That's what you got to have. Book, I don't care. Get your feelings hurt? No, it ain't about you. It's about us. You got to win this. Aiden, you're not getting a new contract? Who gives a fuck, man? Go out there and play your ass off and make them deserve to give you the money. Anyway, so I think when you have a guy like that on your team, it's not all about me. It's about we. You're going to be successful. So I give it up to Chris Paul. Even though I hate the fucking Suns, I have to give it up to Chris Paul.
Hey, they look, they're picking up where they left off. I'm not surprised. They have a really, really good team. But I will say this. You know, you talked about Aiden's contract. From the 2018 draft class, you got Trey, you got Luka, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out there in OKC. There are so many guys from that draft class that had no issue. I think Michael Porter Jr. was part of that class too, further down. Got some money, and he may be out for the season with a nerve injury. Everybody got their money. I'm the number one overall pick in the 2018 draft. DeAndre Ayton. Trey got his. Luka got his. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got his.
Rookie max deals.
Max deals. Yeah. And I got to sit here and wait. Explain that to me. What is it that you need to see from me? I'm a double-double machine. I am an anchor down there in the middle. I'm your future. Me and Book are your future. Mikal Bridges is nice. And I'm not saying you don't extend him, but you don't extend him before you extend Ayton.
Yeah. So, you know, for me, if I'm Ayton, I'm just going to play my ass off. And then at the end of the year,
Unrestricted, right?
Because, you know, it gets to a point where, you know, people look at bigs like they was doing running backs for a while. Like, you can get a big late in the draft. Oh, we don't really need bigs. This is bullshit. When you got a team like the Phoenix Suns, you need a big. Don't go around the league and look at other teams and say, oh, Golden State doesn't have a big.
Yeah, we're going to be the Warriors.
They don't have a big. They're a different monster. And I hate when these organizations and coaches, they look at other organizations and say, oh, they won a championship. Let's model our organization. No, they have a different type of player. They have different type of players. They have a different type of leadership. They have a different type of monster. And you can't model that monster after them unless you have that type of personnel. Right. And you don't. So everybody was trying to model themselves after Golden State because they don't have a Draymond Green. They don't have a Clay. They don't have a Steph. So stop it. Be who you are and take what you have, adapted to beat that monster out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's always the way the league's been. Mm-hmm. Like when Shaq was Shaq, everybody went, well, who's going to be the next Shaq?
It's not as heavy as it was, but you do have guys in the league here and there who – you know, teams in the league who are big centered, you know, they go through their big man. Like in Denver, everything goes through the Joker.
You got
Jamal Murray, you got, you know, Porter Jr., you got all those guys, but they're not winning anything if the Joker's not on the floor.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and look at Philly. Philly has the same thing. Yep. You got to use a big.
Everything through Embiid.
So it's not like, and that's one thing I used to laugh about when D'Antoni first got to the Lakers. He was like, well, they don't fit my system. No, dude, you got Paul Gasol. You got Dwight Howard. No, you changed your system to fit them.
Yeah.
And like, they don't fit my system. And that's to me, as I said, that system worked in Phoenix because that's what you had in Phoenix.
Right.
You don't have that in LA. And for coaches that can't change who they are, and I have to say that about Pop. You know, even though as rigid as Pop was, and he wanted to do this a certain way, when Kawhi got there, and he was like, oh, crap, I got to change. I don't want to, but I have to because I have Kawhi, this dynamic type player who can do a little bit of everything. I just can't go, you know, A, B, C. I can't be as robotic. You know, I got to let him go. And he was able to adapt and change and still be, you know, a somewhat good coach. and I say some were good because they didn't get back. They let down in the playoffs. Now I'm not talking about him as his coaching staff. I'm just talking about the team as in general. So, but that's the thing about coaching. You have to be able to adapt your coaching style to the players you have. And these coaches that can't do that, that's why they keep getting fired. They keep going, you know, but they keep jobs. So I don't know how.
Let me ask you this question real quick. Because I know football and basketball, especially when it comes to coaching, completely different. And as far as the impact on the game, do you think in the NBA, you know, you look at a lot of great coaches, Phil Jackson, Greg Popp, all these other guys. Do you think a lot of these coaches, as accomplished as they are, get more credit than what they deserve? They get too much credit.
I think some of them do, and I think a lot of them don't. Because when you look at what Phil was able to do, he's a great coach. And what I mean by that is, like, even though he had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, you know, anybody could have probably won with them. But you have to get these guys to play together. And that's the key. You can have a lot of talent, but you got to put them in the right position to make them play together and understand it's not about we, it's about us. And there's going to be one guy on this team that's going to get more shots than everybody. But that's okay. He deserves them. So I like those type of coaches that, you know, Phil was a good coach. Pop was a good coach because, you know, Pop, because of David Robinson, you know, and Pop got together, both military guys, and then you got the most boringest guy in the world, Tim Duncan, and everybody was like, okay, we just going to play basketball and fill in. That's all we want to do. You know, and these coaches, they had the right personnel for who they were.
Yeah.
You know, they mentally fit that personnel perfect. But then you got other guys out there that I think I wish I would have had a chance to play for. You know, like I wish I had a chance to play for D'Antoni because he likes athletic guys who can run, just to see how he was as a coach.
Okay.
Because, you know, it falls back to when he went to the LA, he didn't seem like a very good coach. And I would have loved to get to know him and see how he was as a coach and how he could get guys to play. But then I look at the guy out in Golden State that was before
Mark Jackson.
No, not Mark Jackson. Okay. Before Mark Jackson.
Don Nelson.
Don Nelson. I look at Don Nelson and think about this. HC beat the Spurs. He took what he had and manipulated it to something great. Mm-hmm. I don't think Spree would have been as great as he was if it was for Don Nelson, because I think Don Nelson inspired Spree to work on his weaknesses. Because Spree was all right in college. He couldn't go left to save his life. We get to the league. He's done all these things. He becomes this fantastic player. And I wish I would have played for him. And Adelman, I wish I would have played for him. Those are two guys I think don't get enough credit because they always got to the end but never made it over the top. You know what I mean? So those two guys, I look at what they had and what they was able to create. You know, they turned basically shit into sugar.
Yeah.
So what would you say to somebody who says – Phil is more so a manager of egos than he is a good coach?
I say both of those. He can manage egos because you got to be able to put those big bulls in their place. You can't be afraid of them. It's a lot of these coaches nowadays that are afraid of these star players. You know, Phil's like, man, fuck you. I make just as much money as you do. You know, so you got to have ego and you can't be sensitive. A lot of these coaches are so worried about pissing off these star players because the star player is going to run and then tell management, oh, I don't like him, then you get fired. To me, I would give two shits if the players got mad at me. I said, you know what? Go tell the fucking ownership. I don't give a fuck because, you know, if I get fired, I'm still getting fucking paid.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to have and put those guys in the right place. Because I see so many of these superstars now are trying to take over the teams, put their who they want on a team like they're the GM. No. At the end of the day, my title is coach. Your title is player. You do your job. Let me do my job.
Who was your favorite coach you played for? Was it Rudy?
Rudy.
Rudy T.
Was it Rudy?
Because Rudy ran plays when the other fuckers didn't run no plays.
It's all selfish, man.
I'm selfish
reasons,
shit, man.
That's okay, man. Though. That's all right, man.
I think, like, it goes back to what I say. You put players in a position to succeed. And I think Rudy saw what I could do, and he put me in a position to succeed. And then I think other coaches saw what I do, but they limited me. You know, when I first got to San Antonio, to the Lakers, I had, you know, a couple plays ran for me. It might be like one or two. But all of a sudden now feels like spot up, play defense. That's all he wants you to do. You know, get to San Antonio, same thing, spot up slash, and not knowing that, oh, you forget. I know I can't. I used to post up. I played post in college. I played wing in college. I have a skill set that I can use when I have a smaller player on me, or I have a you know, a player that's not as quick as me. And so, but it gets to a point where I just got, you know, go over here, spot up, shoot threes. And I was more than that, but you know, it's for the, for me, I took a back seat because it's best for the team.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week, I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked briefly about the NFL before. I did want to mention, by the way, and this is just, I only wanted to mention this because it makes me mad. The new taunting rules in the NFL suck. They are ripping the fun out of this game completely. Like, and you can't even point at somebody now. Oh. I'm trying to remember who it was the other night.
Across the touchdown line.
Yeah, across, and just pointed across at someone. Flag, 15. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, I just remember the days of T.O. pulling a marker out of his shoe and signing a football and Joe Horn with the cell phone in the shoe. And like, that stuff is great. But that's the stuff that I love. But it's where does – I don't know where this new taunting stuff comes from. Are players, like, complaining that their little feelings are hurt? Like, I mean, you're an NFL player, for God's sake.
I think for me, you know, the last couple of years, they kind of went overboard with the with the scripted end zone dances.
So the class picture is the one that always gets my – like, they'll all run down and they pose for the class picture at the end. And it's like, all right, calm down.
Row the boat. Many things. But, you know, you got to give them a little. I think they should have like a 10-second rule. Like, as soon as you cross, you got 10 seconds to do what you need to do.
Do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Just don't drag it on.
I think, and far be it for me to ever defend the NFL when it comes to much of anything, because I don't and I won't. But I will say this. I don't think the celebrations are cool. It's when I think they have an issue when the celebration is directed at someone. Like when it's for instance, if you're crossing the goal, like, and I have a problem with that too. And I think what they're trying to do, like I said, I'm not shooting NFL bail, but let me look at it from the other side.
Sounds like you are.
Maybe a little bit.
Sounds like you are.
Yeah.
I think what they're trying to do, which I'm not saying I agree with it. They're like, okay, if a guy does, you know, celebrates towards somebody and the other dude don't like it, and now we got a fight on our hands, and it consistently happens, then you know, it's not enough to punish the one guy here, and it's not a just a case by case scenario. They're going to bring down a new rule to say you're not allowed to do this.
That just kills me, though.
You're right.
I absolutely hate it.
I didn't get to see the game, but did Cam Newton get a call when he ran all the way to?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, I don't think so.
You're talking about when he was screaming about being back?
No. Yeah. It was another one where he ran out last game. He ran out to the 50-yard line to the logo and spiked the ball down.
I don't remember that.
The Superman thing. Yeah. Because I was wondering, because sometimes they do it and sometimes they don't. I'm confused.
But again, that was what B-Dog said. It wasn't directed at anybody. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was more of a broad taunt instead of a, hey, you, F you, you, to you specific person, you can kiss my ass.
But the bad one was Jon Snow for Pittsburgh. You see the one where he went over to the sideline, just looked at the sideline and was running back, and the ref kind of stuck his butt out.
Oh, that dude.
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Called him Jon Snow because they showed a picture of Jon Snow and somebody else said if Jon Snow and someone had a baby, it would be him.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah.
He had the coat on like he was from the winter is coming.
Yeah, that ref was tripping. He shouldn't have been running in the vicinity because he was really close to the ref, but the ref did. He stepped into him. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
All right. Well, taunting pisses me off in the NFL. Let these guys have fun, man.
It's already hard enough to score.
Right. It's the freaking NFL. Some guy's going to blindside you and knock you unconscious. The least you can do is point at him and tell him he's an asshole.
Right.
All right, big shot of the week. This week's going to go to a New Jersey football player named Alex Brown. who plays for the Red Bank Catholic, a school called Red Bank Catholic. Alex lost his mom a week ago Thursday. Posted this emotional tribute to her online after her 14-year battle with cancer. A day later, last Friday night, he goes out. He threw for 6 touchdowns and ran for 2 more. Accounted for 8 total touchdowns on his 18th birthday. Days after losing his mother. Just one of those, like, inspired performances of how did you even do it? Like, how do you even have the wherewithal to go out and perform and play and not only that, but show out? Account for 8 total touchdowns as an 18-year-old kid. That is a – Tom Brady even weighed in on that. It was all over SportsCenter.
Yeah.
So just shout out to that kid because that's really – that's very, very hard.
Man, that's very – That's a strong brother right there, man. You know, just to show up and then show out like that, it's amazing. Because think about it, you losing your mother. You know, your mother had a 14-year battle with cancer, and all of a sudden, you know, you're losing. You still got to go and play a sport. You know, he took his anger out on that other team.
Yeah, he did.
I'm proud of him that he was able to get it. Because I know I always think about this now. I still have my mother with me, but I'm gonna probably be in a ball for about 2 weeks. Man.
You ain't lying.
And so when people are able to perform when they lose a parent or a child, they have my heart goes out to them because I know how hard it could be, and they still go out there and be inspired to play, and your team rally around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's really a big shot.
I got, man. All I can say is I salute him. That's all I can say.
Yeah,
because there's not really many words you can use to kind of describe that. I just say I salute him.
And he's a high school football player. How easy is it for you as a high school player to go, I don't need to play this game. I don't need to be out there.
It's my birthday. I lost my mother. There's a lot of things.
But he wrapped himself in what he's good at and what he loves, and his teammates kind of had his back, and, man, the kid showed out. So just an incredible performance from a young man. All right, well.
Red Bank. Red Bank, that's where my first agent was from. I actually visited
Red Bank, New Jersey?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, right around the corner from where I grew up. Dumpy little town called Monroe Township, New Jersey. A suburb of a suburb.
It's called Steamers they used to have all the time. That's what they're famous for. Steamers.
The clams. Yeah.
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 First time I ever had them was in Red Bank.
Oh, look at that. See? There you go. Jersey's good for something. I don't know what, but it's good for something. All right.
What ain't good for? That's some lotion.
Bro, let's not even go there.
All right. A lot of questions this week. If you ever have a question, you can send it to BigShotBobPod@gmail.com, BigShotBobPod on Twitter and on Instagram. If you have a question or anything you want to do, just shoot it over to us. Kyle on Twitter wants to know, this is a weird question, does anyone on the show play a musical instrument? And if not, do you have one that you wish you could play?
How is that weird?
I don't know, just random. Just out of nowhere. Like, when's the last time we talked about musical instruments on the show? Does anyone play a musical instrument?
I don't.
You don't.
I don't either.
Neither do I, no. If you could play one, what would you want to play?
The piano.
Yeah, me too.
It's something about playing the piano can sing. The piano, if you can't sing, the piano will sing for you, boy. So it's like, I can play the piano.
It's a classy instrument.
There's two. The drums and the saxophone. There is nothing.
Saxophone.
Yes, because when you talk about smooth, anytime you hear a saxophone in a song, it's just smooth. It's like the icing on top. It's like it's the smoothest instrument out of all the instruments. No disrespect to any other instrument, but there's nothing that sounds like the saxophone.
I got the oboe on line one, all pissed off. Like, what? What do you mean, no disrespect to other instruments? Like, they're all mad. The trumpet's going to take a night. Usually when I hear the saxophone, I'm like, all right, someone's getting late. Saxophone's coming in. So it's usually like a Fandro song or something. Hey. Like, all right, somebody get late.
Look, man, it's smooth.
The saxophone.
Hey, the ladies like the saxophone. Oh, they like
ask Bill Clinton. He played that shit for years. Played that shit for years. Steve on Twitter.
What about your instrument, Rob?
Oh, piano. I'm with you 100%.
Okay.
Piano all day. And I know a little bit of piano because when I was in high school, I was in musical theater, and you had to pluck out notes and stuff on the computer and learn to play.
Yeah.
And, man, I never got into it, but I would have learned to love to play piano. I just think I'm too old in my life now where my brain doesn't want to learn new things, so it's just like, no, I'm not doing this. Steve on Twitter wants to know, we lost our family dog a week ago. Do you guys have a beloved childhood pet or a favorite pet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was your beloved childhood pet?
So, how old was I? I had to be in elementary school. We had a chow. big a dog.
Okay,
but the breed is called a chow. It's a very
They're big and fluffy, aren't they?
Yeah. And his name was Buddy, and we had Buddy for like 5 years or so. I can't remember, but Buddy was. I think Buddy maybe had been my favorite pet.
Okay, how about you?
My buddy.
My we got
buddy
Rob.
And me.
My buddy and me. Now you're going old school.
Best friend that can be. I had a dog named Prissy. And it was a family dog. Don't ask me what kind of dog it was. It was just a little fat, short dog. And Prissy. And Prissy used to make me mad because it would rain. Prissy would go up under my grandfather's Mustang. And they would make me, because I was the youngest in the family, go under the car. Pull her from under the car.
The dog out.
Take her in the house when it rained. I'm like, because she was scared. And so Prissy was my dog. I don't even know what dog. Don't ask me what kind it was.
You don't even know what kind. No. we had our dog Brock. We got we moved to Georgia. We had him for 12 years before he passed. And when my daughter was born, he would sleep under her crib every night. Oh. Right in front of the crib. Like, you're not getting near the baby.
Right.
That was it. As soon as the baby girl was born, I sleep where the baby sleeps. So, okay. Yeah, he was a sweetheart of a pet. Mike at our Gmail wants to know, have any of you, Rob, have any of you ever been in a fight? And I'm not talking about Rob chasing Maxwell into the stands, but a real all-out fist fight. Ooh.
Mm-mm. I've thrown a couple punches, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't either. I mean, I've gotten in like the middle of a bar fight before, like where my friends are throwing down and like pushed a couple people like stood on the side, just like, I'm over here, and shove some guy and move away. But that's it.
Is the two to three punches, is that considered a fight?
I don't know. Not really, I guess. I mean, what was it, just you and one other person, or was it like a big brawl?
Yeah. No, it was me and one other person.
That's a fight.
Okay, that's a fight. Yeah, if you threw hands, yeah.
No.
No, like he threw one, I moved, and I threw two, and then we both got grabbed. That's a fight?
That's close.
I mean, nobody.
It's not really like
it.
No one got their ass beat. You know, it's more of a scuff up than a fight.
I remember this. His name was John. He thought I grabbed his girlfriend's butt,
Luckily,
I was dating his girlfriend's sister. So, dude, why would I grab you? It was the stupidest. He swung at me, and I saw it coming. I moved, and I went boop, boop, and then next thing I know, they grabbed us both.
Everybody
and I was like,
yeah.
It was after school, in front of my high school coach's driver's ed classroom, and he pulled me in the driver's ed, and he told John to go home. And John like, I'm going to get you. I said, you know where I live? I live on top of the hill. You know where I live.
All right.
Len on Twitter wants to know, Rob said he would never work for the Clippers. Is there any team or organization, even if it was your dream job, you could never work for?
Braves? No, I'm just kidding.
No. F out of here with that.
You gotta go on. Don't disrespect the champs like that.
I'm totally kidding.
See, I'm the opposite. I was raised in a house full of Yankees fans. I could never work for the Yankees. I've grew up just with everybody like, Yankees in your face, to the point where I'm like, I could never
work. Let me just say this.
Never work for the Yankees.
I have nothing against these people or this team, but Utah? I could never work in Utah because, you know, you have to.
It's too white.
I don't know if it's still. If I want to go out and have a cocktail, you got to be a part of a private club and all this kind of stuff.
You got to have licenses and stuff.
Yeah, plus, it's cold, and I don't do well in the cold. I say Utah and New York. I couldn't work in New York or those two just because the congestion and the cold, and it's just I couldn't do those two places.
Okay.
I'm not working for any Boston team. On the Celtics, I ain't doing with the Patriots.
Patriots is a good one.
Flyers or the Bruins or whatever. I'm not doing anything Boston.
Let's be real though. If the numbers are right, you're gonna be there.
Well, you even said the only way you're going to work for the Clippers is they're backing up the truck for you. Exactly. And even then you're like, oh. So
I don't know. The numbers gotta be right.
Like right.
Yeah.
We already did Howard's question, your favorite Thanksgiving side.
Yep.
We already did that one. Jimmy on Twitter. Without upsetting your family, do you have a family member you always dread seeing during the holidays? I have an uncle who gets hammered every Thanksgiving and starts a fight with someone over politics.
Uh-oh.
So do you have somebody that, come holiday time, that you're like, oh, I gotta run into this.
You know, I used to, but God rest his soul. It's just I just had this conversation with my wife. It's like, I used to get picked on Every Thanksgiving, I used to get picked on by my family. I used to go and I start crying, and because I was so tall and so skinny and I had acne and all this kind of stuff, so they would pick on me, right? And by the time I was in the ninth grade, 10th grade, I just stopped going. My mom, she wouldn't even make me go because she knew I hated going. I'd be like, I'm going. I'll bring you a plate. I said, all right, be careful. Have fun. But I had this cousin, you know. I'm not going to mention her name.
Yeah.
She's going to the other side. But it was, I just hated going because she would just pick on me and she thought it was funny, you know, and it bothered me, man. So my mom knew it bothered me. So I never went back to other family dinners. No family dinner, not just Thanksgiving. We used to do a lot of things for families, family gatherings, but I stopped going.
Just because of that one person?
Yes, yeah. Because of that one person.
Yeah, I have cousins that are super political, like super political. And everything needs to be about Joe Biden and COVID. And I'm just like, stop. I can't. I don't. I can't. I want to eat mashed potatoes and be fat and watch football. I do not want to argue about politics and vaccines and COVID. No, thank you. I'm good.
I don't have any. Because our family, well, at least the close-knit family is small. Like, we have other people in other states that they don't come in town for Thanksgiving or Christmas. So our family is relatively small. I enjoy seeing everybody. I don't have those issues.
Oh, look at you. I love everyone. So me and Ori are the assholes. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's all right.
Such a wonderful family.
All right, last question.
Speaking of families.
And this is a great question, too, by the way. Bob at our Gmail, are you guys going all Clark Griswold with your Christmas lights? Does Rob even put up Christmas lights? You put Christmas lights on your house?
Did my wife send it? Is she using my email for Bob?
Yeah, she might.
Man, I never put up Christmas lights, man. But for a long time, I hired somebody. I'm like, I ain't doing that
shit. Well, that's fine, but you put them up on the house. You have somebody puts up Christmas lights on the house.
I have somebody do that shit. I ain't doing nothing, man. I'm like, I don't even take it down.
Oh, man.
Hey, that's the one thing about once you get money. You got little perks like that, you
dude. I would give anything to have a little bit of money, so that my ass isn't on a ladder on the side of my house, hanging up icicle lights, wondering if this is the day that I fall to my demise. And I don't know.
How many trees do you put up?
One. Oh, that man! People who put up two and three trees—that's some bullshit, man.
Oh, see, that's no. Wait a minute. We do two trees.
Let me hear why.
We do a Santa tree. That's at the front of the house. That's the Santa tree. And then my daughter, we have a smaller tree that she does that's all the family gifts. So it's like the stuff that she gets for her brothers and the stuff she buys for grandma and grandpa. That goes under the family tree. So there's a family tree and there's a Santa tree. So
interesting.
We have two trees. Yes, we're those people.
Oh, Lord. You are the
also
Griswolds then.
I'm dreaming of white privilege.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.